As we go into God's word, let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are God. And besides you, there is no one else. You are El Elyon, the one who is above all. And Father, I thank you that as I break your word today, just as you spoke to me, you're going to speak to your people. So I ask God that the message will go forth with boldness and power. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving we say, amen. You may be seated. Sister Laurie, you could go ahead and put up the topic of the message. I missed some of January's message, but I know that the theme for these 2 months is stewardship. And I understand that we've been lifting up the theme of stewardship and we've been encouraged to be good stewards of our time. That means we must redeem our time that God has given us. And we were encouraged to use this temple that he has given us, which houses the Holy Spirit for his glory. We were encouraged to use our talents or gifts to bring glory to God. And we were encouraged just a while ago also to use our treasure, the money and the material gift, things that God has given us for his glory. And I trust that when this series comes to a close, that we will be better people than we were before. Because, you know, it is not wise to listen to good teaching and ignore it. And then be worse off than you were before. Because Hebrews 2:1 says, he says, therefore we ought to give the more honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. My friend, there's a danger. There's a danger in sitting there in your seat Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, whatever else. And God requires you to change. And you sit there and remain the same. When God makes a call, I want you to understand that if God is calling you for service, if God is calling you to do a particular thing in ministry, I want you to understand that he doesn't leave you alone. He does not leave you alone. He's always there with you. God will not ask you to do anything and leave you alone. How can I prove that? Because as I look in the book of Joshua, just allowing the scripture, as I look in the book of Joshua, I was really encouraged to know that when God tells you to do something, he's right there with you. He's right there, right beside you, and he will never leave you alone. So if you turn in your Bibles to Joshua 1:1-9, if you can see it on the board, you can probably read it for me. Let's go. Let's read Joshua 1:1-9. After? I want to hear you. Go ahead. I wanted you to read it for yourself so that I could rest my voice and also that you could get it, because when you do it yourself, you get it better. I want you to remember as I go through this message, as I said, if God is calling you for service or anything, He will not leave you. He will be with you. Remember what he told Joshua? Be strong and of good courage, and I will be with you. So if you're sitting there this morning and God speaks to you and says, there's something I have for you to do, just say to God, you're available. And when you do that, remember, you're not alone. God is going to equip you. God is going to be with you. He will never leave you. He's going to give you the courage you need to do whatever it is that he wants you to do. Okay, so that's what I want you to get. Now, as we go through this stewardship thing you've been hearing for the past weeks, it is now time for self-evaluation. And I ask the question, as you have listened week after week and stewardship from Pastor Turnbull, from Minister Smith, and now myself, it's time for you to evaluate what you have heard. You have been told that you have time, you have treasure, you have talent, and you have this temple. It's now time to self-evaluate on whether or not you have taken what you've heard lightly. And I want you to understand that if you are taking it lightly, one of these days, God's going to hold you accountable. One of these days, just like last week we heard about the three people who God gave talents to, they were held accountable. You will be held accountable. And if you have not used those things he's given you, you will be the one to stand before God. And when you stand before God, or even now when you're doing the self-evaluation, you're not evaluating the person next to you, you're evaluating yourself. You're evaluating you. Ask yourself, will God be pleased with how I've treated my body, the temple? Will he be pleased with how I've used my time and my talent? Will he be pleased with how I've used the resources, the material possession, my money that he's given me at my disposal? Will he be pleased? And you know, when God judges, the thing about when God judges is different to when you and I judge. When you and I judge sometimes, we don't have all the facts. We rely on other people here, say, to give us the facts. But Jesus Christ would need no hearsay. He would need no witnesses. He is his own judge and jury. So when you stand before God, you'll be standing before God only. And remember, God has the facts. He has the facts, and he don't have to rely on nobody else. And I wonder to myself sometimes, how is that? How can God know exactly all about me? But Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So lest you think that you can escape God's judgment, remember Proverbs says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. I can only see as far as outside the door. I can't see in St. Thomas, St. John, or even in the islands here. I can only see right in front of me. But the Bible says God has eyes that can roam to and fro. So nothing we do will escape God. And I want to tell us this morning that the true success, listen to this, the true success of our stewardship to God depends not only how well we have carried out our own specific duties, but also on how we have inspired, encouraged, and equipped others to join in doing God's kingdom work. Listen, I may think I'm doing a good job. I'm using my time, my talent, my treasure, and my temple wisely. But God is saying, yes. But it's not only about you. It's about how you have used those things to bless somebody else. How have you inspired anybody? Have you aroused anybody's spirit to do something? That's what inspire means. Have you aroused somebody from their sleep and slumber and laziness? Have you inspired anybody to be interested in carrying out God's business? Have you? Have you encouraged anybody along life's road? Were you able to speak with confidence and said to somebody, you can make it. You can do it. God is on your side. How have you encouraged anybody? Have you discouraged more than you encouraged? So it's not only about what I've done when it comes to stewardship for myself. What have I done to inspire you, to encourage you? The brother, the sister. And how have I equipped anybody to join in this race? Have I furnished them with intelligence or emotional resources? Were I able to instruct them in the ways that they should go? Or did I just beat them down? It's not only about me and how good of a steward I've been to myself, but how have I equipped, encouraged, and inspired somebody else? Each person is responsible to be involved in God's service. You remember the song says, I am available to you. It's the I thing. And when you're involved in something, you engage the interests, emotions, and passion and commitment of. If I'm interested in something, you're going to see my interests, you're going to see my passion, my emotion, my commitment. It is incumbent on each of us to put our interests where it should be. The manner in which we use our time, talent, temple, and treasure. And Pastor, the reason why we have so much trouble in the house of God, getting people to do things for God, is because there's no interest. You don't lose the interest. Because if there's interest, your passion will follow, your emotion will follow, and your commitment will also follow. So at the end of the day, the question should be asked, where is your interest? Where is your interest? If my interest is in building up God's kingdom, you got to see some passion. If my interest in building up God's kingdom, you got to see some emotion. And commitment. Nobody has to pump you up. If you're interested in God's kingdom, you will be emotional about it. You will show some passion and you will be committed. So the question is, where has your interest gone? We try to pump you up when you don't lost your interest. What you gotta do is try to get back your interest. Because if this is missing, everything else goes downhill. And if there's interest in the kingdom of God, it's going to have to cost you something. Being a servant of Jesus Christ will always cost you something. It does. Because if you're going to use your time, it's going to cost you something. Your talent, it will cost you something. Your money. We could only always see what the money is costing us when we give it, right? But when you give your talent, it also costs you something. Living for Jesus Christ, being a servant, a steward, will cost. That's why it's so hard for people to be good stewards. Because when it costs something, we hold back. So the question is asked, how is the use of these things impacting other people? When I have time on my hand, am I impacting other people? Or is it just for me? I have a talent. How do I use it to impact somebody? I love the praise team because when they sing, they impact. They leave an impact. You're blessed. So how is the use of your treasure and your temple impacting other people? As we continue on this subject of stewardship, I asked the hard questions this morning. And this is not a shouting sermon. So I don't expect you to shout about it. I want you to think. It's for you. It's not for the other person sitting next to you. It's for you to evaluate yourself. And I'm not just asking you to do it. This preacher had to do it when I got the message. I had to evaluate myself. And I had to think about making some adjustments. If you're going to evaluate, you're going to have to make the necessary adjustments. I ask the question. Each time Sister Lauren comes before you at the end of the service and she gives the announcements, it is not because she has a beautiful voice, and she does. It's not because she's beautiful, and she is. It's given for a reason. Announcements are given for a reason. And when the announcements are given, it requires action. Announcements are serious. And when she gives them, we ought to pay attention. And when you hear the announcements and she says there's certain things are happening, you have to ask yourself the question, because whether you think you're not asking, you're asking. When she gives the announcement, you need to say and ask yourself, Pastor Reimer, why are you not attending the activities that are being announced? And if I don't like the answer I receive, I've got to make the adjustments. I tell you, it's a hard sermon for even me. Because announcements are given for a reason. And when you refuse, or when I refuse to adjust to the announcements and the activities, it is difficult for us to be good stewards. Yes, we can have excuses, and they sound mighty good. But think about if you're standing before God, and God says to you, did you hear the announcement? And you say, I did. And he said, what are you going to do about the announcements? You're not answering to me or pastor. Think about it. You're answering to God. We are to make the necessary adjustments to be good stewards by what we hear. Are we prepared to make the necessary adjustments? Are we prepared to act upon what we hear? And then not only must we self-evaluate, there are people around us who are evaluating us every day. And whether you want to believe it or not, every day, people are evaluating you. They're not Christians. We rub shoulders with them, and they are evaluating us. And I ask the question, how are you scoring in their books of evaluation? Are there more negatives than positives? Do they think we are good stewards? What do they say when we rub shoulders with them on a daily basis? We attend their functions when they know fully well you need to be in the house of God. How are they evaluating you when they see you mingling with them and neglect to attend your activities, but you got time to mingle and rub shoulders with them. They must be thinking, well, she may not be taking this Christianity thing lightly or this stewardship lightly. Don't think, because they laugh with you, grin with you. Yeah. They're evaluating you. Right. And they're looking at your life and saying, if that's a Christian, she has no passion for God, or what is she doing here? Yeah. And the house of God is being neglected. Where we cater to the requests of others who do not even like God or His church. And we say, I don't care what people think, Pastor. I don't care. But let me tell you something. If I see a passion, if I see your emotion and your commitment, I know where your interest is. Because you'll always take your interest, and your passion will always go where your interest will follow. People will see it. But if you're saying, I don't care what people say or think about me, Pastor. I don't care. Let me remind you that you should care. Because as Jesus Himself said, in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus said it was important for you to live before your fellow men. Live the Christian life. So don't think that you can live any old way and say, I don't care what people think. Jesus Himself cared. And He asks us to care, or He wouldn't put a verse in the Bible. He said, let your light shine before men. I didn't say it. Jesus said. So you're being evaluated by people, and you must do the self-evaluation, and also people are evaluating you. Now, this is where the matter of accountability comes in. If you're going to be good stewards, you must self-evaluate. We must remember people are evaluating us, and we must be accountable. We must be held accountable. I would encourage all of us sitting in our seats this morning to align yourself with somebody. Somebody you can pray with and share with on a regular basis. I would encourage you to have a strong person behind you. I would encourage that. Because it's important. There must be somebody in your life who you can pray with on a regular basis. You can talk to. Somebody who can cheer you on. Because as I read the scriptures, more often than not, I see people who have teamed up with each other. It was not a solo thing. Paul had a Silas. David had a Jonathan. Shadrach, Meshach, they had Abednego. And Queen Esther had Mordecai. And Moses had Aaron. We need to be held accountable to someone. Someone who can keep us on track. Because, listen, the devil likes it when he sees us alone. Struggling. And when you pull yourself away from people and think that you can make it on your own, the devil sees that and he thrives on that. He will tell you things that you wonder where he's coming from. But if you have a good friend, somebody who prays with you, who talks with you, who cheers you on, that person can nudge you back on track. But if you're alone, the devil can sift you and get you off track. And it's easier to get off track than to get back on track. Everybody needs somebody in ministry. Everybody needs somebody in ministry. You know, when I have a knife at home, Pastor, and I need it sharpened, but I always cut myself when the knife is sharpened. But I usually say, ask my husband to sharpen the knife. And you know what he gets? He don't get a file or a stone most times. He gets another knife. The old people say, iron sharpen iron. But the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17 says, you use steel to sharpen steel. And one friend sharpens another. You want to remain sharp in the kingdom of God? Find somebody. You can align yourself with not anybody. Somebody you can trust. Strong in the faith. Who can encourage you. Keep you on track. When you're drifting, that person can call and say, are you coming out to church tonight? I haven't seen you. Because nobody is an island. We need each other. But I know that as I tell you this, some of us would not take up the offer. You prefer to stay alone. You prefer to remain alone. You prefer, you say, my business is my business. How I'm making it is my business. But you don't understand. You're cheating yourself. Because, you know, people who really want to be alone, most of the times, you just want to continue their bad attitudes and their bad behaviors. They don't want nobody to tell them when they're done wrong or going wrong. So I don't want to team up with nobody because when I want to do my bad thing, I don't want nobody telling me nothing. So let me be by myself. And the few people who know, if they don't know, they don't know. But let me tell you something. Jesus had 12 disciples. If he needed 12, and I'm only telling you to get one. We don't have to go this thing alone, people. We can team up with somebody who will encourage us, who will make us accountable, who will nudge us back on track, who will say, sister, I don't think that's something good you should be involved in. Sister, let me pray for you. Sister, you've been on my mind. Let us pray together. Somebody that you can team up with. And you don't have to search far. Right in this church, you can find somebody. We know each other, don't we? You can team up with somebody right in this church. It's very important that we be held accountable if we are going to be good stewards. Sister Lauren, if you would put up Charles Swindle, I'll show you the importance of teamwork. If you want to read it together, encouragement. Read it like you can see. Okay, something seems to be missed. Okay. Encouragement is awesome. It has the capacity to lift a man's or woman's shoulders. Your shoulders are down, you're depressed. Somebody encourages you, it can lift you up. To breathe fresh fire into the fading embers of a smoldering dream. To actually change the course of another human being's day, week, or life. That's how important encouragement is, which you can get from another person. So when you stay alone and you're depressed and discouraged and your shoulders are sagging, where do you get your encouragement? And some of us turn to the wrong things to get encouragement. We watch TV all night. And we are worse off. Those people on TV, some of them are so unreal. Everything always turns out right. That's not happening in real life. No. That's not real life. Real life has problems. Real life has challenges. Real life has hurts and pain. And if you find somebody that you can team with, it enables you to share, and your load becomes a little lighter. You can pray together, talk about the situation. But if you stay alone, you're worse off. Now, good stewards must stay focused. Hebrews 11:27, it says, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. In other words, he kept his eyes on God. So if you're going to be a good steward, you must be focused. God is the one, the bullseye. If you're doing the dart thing, you must keep your eye on the thing that you want to hit. So you must be focused. I want to encourage us as good stewards to finish strong. You must not allow people or circumstances to deter you from your goal. And you know, it's an honor, it's a privilege to be a steward of God. It's an honor to be a servant of God. I don't know how you take it. It's an honor to be used by God. It's an honor to use your time for God, to use your talent for God, to use your treasure and use this temple, your body, for God. It's an honor. God got some billion other angels up there. He's going to use them, you know. He didn't have to call us. But I praise God for the day when he called us. He was able to use us to bring glory to him. I thank God he didn't use the stars. He used me to bring glory to God. It's a privilege, an opportunity to serve God, to give him your time, your talent, and your don't grudge. When God say, give me your time, your talent, your treasure, and the temple, the body of the Holy Spirit, when he says, give it to me, don't grudge. It's an honor to be used by God. And don't wait until you get on a bed of affliction. You can't talk. Then you're trying to sing. And you're trying to start to pray. Don't wait until you're sick, can't move. God says you got your health now. Give him your time. Don't be there on your bed saying, oh, Lord, I wish I could have do this. No, 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 no. Give it to him now. Then you'll have no regrets. A lot of people in their sick bed today wish that they had given God their lives. Wish that they had given God their time. Because when they were well, they used every waking minute to work, and then when they get home, the television goes on all night. They haven't yet given God any time. And the talent, God has given them to bless others. They prostitute that talent for fleshly desires and fleshly gain, not realizing that God is the one who gave us everything to use for his glory. And our bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, we defile it with all manner of evil and immoral activities. Not to realize that this is the temple of the living God. How can you put filth in your temple? How can you use your bodies immorally, knowing it is the temple of God? Have you just seen a shouting message? He requires a clean temple. When God asked the Israelites to build a temple, Let me tell you, his presence was there and nothing defiled was allowed to get into the temple. This body of ours is his temple. We are Christians, but we allow all sorts of things to be done with this body. The body is to be yielded to God under his control, not to be used for our own fleshly desires. And then many of us want to have experiences like the apostles in the Bible. But very few of us are willing to do what is necessary to cultivate a close relationship with God. You can't just wish to be spiritual like the Apostle Paul and all those apostles in the Bible. Don't work like that. You got to do the necessary thing to keep your body under subjection. How many of us are able to say no to the flesh? Then how come you want to be a good steward? You got to deny yourself. The flesh will rise up in you every time. And we want to have the anointing like Paul. But let me tell you something. To be anointed like Paul, you're going to have to be willing to suffer like Paul. Deny yourself like Paul. Give your time to God like Paul. And not thinking that time is yours. Can't be like Paul if you don't want to do what Paul did. Don't want to spend time in prayer. Don't want to have time with the word. How can you be like the apostles with that kind of attitude? We have to do the adjustments. Stewardship calls for adjustment. The anointing costs. It costs the apostles their very lives. And it will also cost us something. And many of us sitting in our seats this morning, we will be encouraged to become good stewards. And as soon as you make up your mind to do that, then it's where the battle begins. As you sit in your seat and say, you know what? I need to give more time to God. I need to let my talents be used for God, my treasure. Use this temple. Make it a holy place. Immediately, the enemy will tempt you. The flesh will rise up and demand that you feed it with all sorts of things that do not lead to godliness. Whenever you make a decision to become a good steward, what am I saying? If you say, I'm going to use my time for God from now on, immediately the flesh will tell you, boy, no. You get home, you're tired. The Spirit says, why don't you spend some time in prayer? Pray for somebody or what's happening in the world. It's only going to take 10 minutes of your time, 15 minutes. But you say, no, there's a particular thing coming on television. I need to see that. So what you do, the thought that came was a good thought, was the right thought, was a thought that came from God. But you lay that aside, went to the television, turned it on. You only went to spend a half hour, but you spent all night. That is what is going to happen. You'll be tempted to do that. And then, the talents God has given you, say, you know what? I could do so many things in this church. I could really be available to God. I could really make a change in this church. I could really do things for God. The minute you decide to do that, you know what happens? The devil says, why are you wasting your time down in the church? It's a waste of time. Who's going to reward you for the things you do? And many times when you make a decision like that, you may not be noticed. That doesn't matter. The one who should notice sees. And he says when he sees, he will reward you. Don't wait to get your rewards down here. Whatever you do for God down here, don't always do it with a motive in mind to be rewarded by men. do for God what you can, expecting nothing in return from men. Realizing that what you do for God will count for eternity. And whatever you give up for God, you'll get it back more in the end. There's nothing that you can give to God that he cannot reward you for. And his reward is more than what you give to him. So don't worry about doing things to be seen by men. Do it because you're available, you said. And you want to please God. So even if nobody sees, when you get in your closet at night and pray and read your Bible and fast and witness, if nobody sees, God sees. But if you have made mistakes, and if you have defiled your body, if you have used your time unwisely, if you have prostituted your gifts and talents, if you have defiled the body, don't give up. I have hope for you. I have hope. You can still redeem yourself. Where there is life, there's hope. But don't wait until it's too late. Then there'll be no hope. Why wait till you get on a sick bed and then begin to whine and say, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that. Why not do it now? But if you messed up, like I messed up, in all these areas, my time, my talent, my treasure, and my temple, if you messed up like me, there's still hope. Because the Bible says in John 5:14, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And let me tell you, you don't have to ask anybody if it's God's will for you to use your time wisely, your talent wisely, your treasure. It's his will. So if you come to God and confess that you messed up in these areas, he says he will hear you. He will hear you and forgive you and give you the strength to do what's necessary to make the adjustments. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked from him. So don't become discouraged. God gives us hope. And if you never heard anything from me, align yourself with somebody that you can be attached to help you pray, read your Bible, to nudge you on, to keep you on track. Be accountable to somebody. Don't be alone. Don't be alone. Stormy O'Martian says, this is a Lauren Stormy O'Martian. She's a very powerful woman of God. And as I close, I'll read what she says. You can also look at the script and you can read with me. She says, if you are hesitant to let the Lord expose your heart because of what he might reveal, then ask him to give you the courage you need. In order to see positive changes happen in your life, you have to be open to the cleansing and stretching work of the Holy Spirit. I will not for 1 minute tell you it's going to be easy when you make the decision, because the Holy Spirit will stretch you. In order to cleanse you, he'll stretch you. But what you're going to reap is going to be very beneficial to you. So as we stand, remember, God has given us the four T's. He's given us time, talent, treasure, and he's given us this temple. It is our responsibility to use these things wisely, because one day you'll be held accountable You may not be listening to what I say, but whenever you stand before God, you're going to remember this message. And if you continue down the road of misusing the time God gave you, misusing this temple, and using your talents and your money for other things that you know are wrong, this message will be preached to you again. And you'll be judged by what you hear. So I ask you, don't take it lightly. God will hold us responsible. Amen.
Folks, this has been a sobering word from God. Very simple, very practical. And the assessment, as Pastor said, is not for you and me to assess another. This is a personal message for each of us. And without a song, I'm going to ask every head bow. Please bow your heads. I would let you know, as pastor, that the more I do and the more I'm stretched is the more God is calling me to. I would let you know that it's not easy. It seems that way for some of you. But I will also let you know it is the greatest thing that any human being can do to submit him or herself to God. So, starting with all of us as leaders, very practical, the announcements are going to be given in a while that requires us to do certain actions. Question is, where are we? And remember this, when we are not in place, and that's just one example, someone else is filling our place, and it's usually the devil. But understand this, there's never a vacant spot in the church. It's always filled by someone, and usually it's the devil. What has God said to me today? Where do I need to adjust? I'm going to ask, let's take the lead, leaders. That's what leadership is all about. Not just the good things, but the tough conversation that God has with us. I'm going to ask us as leaders to come forward. Let's take the lead on this and say, God, I know there are times I'm not where I should be. I'm not doing all that I can. I'm going to ask the leaders to come first. Let's pray. And then for the rest of us who are servants of God, you may not consider yourself a leader, but you know God is calling you, and you know what God has placed in you, and God's been pulling on you. I'm going to ask you to come and make that commitment today. Would you come now? This is for all Christians. What adjustments do I need to make? It's not about the other person. What adjustments do I need to make? And then finally, for those of you that have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I'm going to ask you to trust Him, because you too will stand before God and give an account. So if you've never trusted Christ, I'm going to ask you to come right now. Let's all pray and say, God, I'm available. Work on me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today that is so sobering so clear and so plain that we have no excuse. We cannot say we did not understand. It's that plain. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you now for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that's working in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for the pull on us, making us uncomfortable to the point where we have to make the adjustments. Because not only have we evaluated ourselves, we are being evaluated by others, and finally, you will judge us. So now, Father, that you have shown us, we bring it to you. And we confess, and we ask you to cleanse us. May our lives be changed from this day forward. Amen. Can we sing that song one more time? Lord, I am available to you. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I'm available to you. I will, I give to you.
I'll do
what you say.
Use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord, to show someone the way.
And enable me.
And enable me to say.
My storage is empty. And I am available to you. Let's do that one more time. Lord, I am. Lord.
Lord.
I'm available.
I'm available to you.
My will.
My will I give.
I'll do what you say do.
I'll do what you say.
Use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord.
To show someone the way.
To show someone the way.
And enable me to say.
And enable me to say.
My storage is empty.
My storage is empty. My storage is empty. My story,
and I am,
and I am
available
to you.
Come on, let's give God praise in this house. Let's bless his name. You may be seated in his presence.